Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time for Overtime. Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen, and Sterling Bennett with analysis, sound from the locker room, and your reaction to the game. When the clock hits zero, we bring you Overtime. Take it away, boys.
Well, the clock isn't quite at zero, but the game is over. It's 38-10, Green Bay over the 49ers in Green Bay. Still 4-plus minutes left. The Niners will get the ball back, but they're down by 28 points. This ball game is over. The 49ers officially 5-6, and their playoff hopes take a major hit today in Green Bay. Depending on what stats website you go to, Niners playoff chances now somewhere around 15% or something like that. But if we're just taking a look at how it feels more dire than that. Welcome into Overtime here on 95.7 The Game. My name is Mark Grandy, joined as always by Kyle Madsen and Sterling Bennett. Guys, we do not know what the final score will be, but it was an ugly game for the 49ers. It's 38-10 right now. Niners down like four of their five most important players. You did not have Brock Purdy. You did not have Nick Bosa. You did not have Trent Williams. You did not have Charvarius Ward. You missed so many key players in this football game. It was always going to be an uphill battle, but this was a little more ugly than I was expecting.
Yeah, it's disappointing. That's what I did not expect the 49ers to win today necessarily, but to come out the way they did, uncompetitive, and to be uncompetitive for most of the game, and then in a game where you need to be as buttoned up as humanly possible, you need to, all right, this is lock in and play a perfect game, and maybe you still don't win, but at least you give yourself a shot. They didn't. Turn the ball over. You got penalties. They get a big special teams play, which they needed from Deebo Samuel, called back by penalty. It just it was not a competitive effort, and I think that's the most disappointing part. I expected them to come out at least fired up and playing hard. They didn't. They quit, and that sucks.
This was a game that I thought, okay, at least make me say, well, if you had Brock Purdy, well, if you had Trent Williams, well, if you had Nick Bosa. And unfortunately, I don't think it would have mattered had they had any three of those guys out there. They still would have lost this game because every single thing that went wrong has plagued them the previous 10 games. Yep. Turnovers, penalties, special teams, back-breaking defense on third and second and long, drop interceptions to help you get back in the football game, not capitalizing on the other team trying to give you the game. The Packers didn't play great today. They ran the football well. Jordan Love had under 100 yards through three quarters. The Niners were in this game up until the beginning of that fourth quarter. They had every chance to fight their way back, and every time they continue to shoot themselves in the foot and push themselves two steps back every time they try to take one step forward.
Yeah, the Niners had the ball twice in the third quarter with a chance to make it a one-score game. It was only a 10-point game at halftime. The Niners trailed 17-0. They go down and they put together a really nice drive to close the first half. It ended with a George Kittle great touchdown in the back of the end zone. Kittle, one of the few Niners that showed up today. Six catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown as we speak. Still 4 minutes to go. The Niners facing a 3rd and 10, but they're down by 28 points. This drive does not matter. You just hope everybody of importance and everybody stays healthy. If you are still hoping that the Niners can turn this season into something. But the Niners had two chances, two drives, guys, where they were only down by 10 in the third quarter. And that's when, as you guys already pointed to, they could not get out of their own way. Turnovers, and that was essentially it. Because then the Packers go down, they get a touchdown. You make it a two-score game with the field goal, but it's been all Packers since then. You have been able to do nothing on offense. Kyle, I think you brought up the right point early in this football game. Turnovers, it was the penalties that doomed your drives in the beginning. That though, there was a hold by Dominic Pooney, there was two false starts by Dominic Pooney, and an oddly off game for him, and those killed each of the 49ers' first two drives. And then 15 missed tackles in the first half. The defensive tackling was pretty gross in this football game as well. You guys said it. If the Niners were to win this game without their quarterback, without their best edge rusher, without all of these players, they had to be perfect in all those little areas, and Green Bay was by far better in all those little areas tonight as well.
Well, we did the football hour on Thursday, right? We talked about, okay, if you could only have one of Bosa, Purdy, or Trent Williams, which one are you taking? And we decided... Yeah, it doesn't really matter because you don't feel great about it either way. And then they had none of them. It just, you mentioned the missed tackles. It's like they approached this game the way I think we all probably kind of felt about it. Like, yeah, hey, they don't have a great chance to win this one.
Yeah.
And that, we can feel that way. We don't have an impact on the game. Like, we're just out here catching vibes. The fact that the team went out and looked like that, it's the first time in the Kyle Shanahan era, even going back to like 2017, this is the first time they have played a game, and I've felt like, oh, they quit from the jump. They did not, they were not competitive from snap one.
There was still a moment, though, early second half where you're like, oh, all right.
But in the same way, like, you kind of felt that way in the 2022 NFC title game.
Like McCaffrey touchdown.
Yeah, like yeah. McCaffrey scores, and you're looking at it, you're going, okay. If you get a stop...
Are they actually going to do this without a quarterback?
Well, then the Eagles score right before the half, but then you're going, okay, but if you go down and score here, you get a field goal, you're only down... And then Josh Johnson fumbles, and they score again before the half, yeah. And it just kind of felt over from that point. That's the way it felt today. And to have this season... The season's done, man. I don't... You got to win out and get help.
Seattle's ahead right now. You never know.
Yeah, but you lose ground on Seattle, but right, you gain ground on the Cardinals. Or you
you're only
gain
a game
ground.
Out, brother. You're only a game and a half out,
man.
Still.
Jeez,
but,
Louise.
Yeah, the effort from the jump, but at least everybody that I talked to, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way, it was going to take a Herculean effort by the defense to hold Green Bay to 17 points and maybe keep it close late. But the defense getting run all over for three consecutive drives.
Yes.
It was like, yep, that's how this is going to go. It's going to be a trouncing. It'll be over come third quarter. And surprisingly, it wasn't. To give the defense some credit, that second half, they did make some adjustments, and they did play well. Got a couple three and outs. Almost picked off Love twice. Like, there was some good things, I guess, to say of the defense in a very small sample size in that third quarter, but ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because Brandon Allen was slipping and sliding, turning the ball over. I mean, I guess the big bright spot really is George Kittle, who continues to be awesome, whether it's Nick Mullins or Jimmy Garoppolo or Brock Purdy or Trey Lance or Brandon Allen. He still looks like all-pro George Kittle. Unfortunately, he can't play the other 10 positions. It's one guy doing everything out there.
Yeah. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett. We want to hear from you guys, Niner fans. We're here so you can vent to us. You can get out your frustration. That's what we're doing here as well. So give us a call. Shoot us a text, 888-957-9570. I see the 650, the 209, the 408 chiming in already on the Comcast Business text line. Keep them coming. We'll get to all your calls and texts throughout the evening here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. Sterling, you pointed out the defense in the second half. There was a decent chunk of this game where they kept the Niners in the football game. First three drives were bad, as you guys already pointed to. 12-play touchdown drive, 10-play field goal drive, 12-play touchdown drive, 17-0 before you can even blink, really. After that, punt, the Brandon Allen interception set up a short field touchdown. That's not on the defense. And then another punt. And then another punt. So there were five drives after the first three scoring drives by the Packers where the Niners only gave up points on a short field touchdown drive for the Packers after a Niners interception on offense. Four other drives, they were punts, and they kept the team in it. I know it's rough to see the 38-point total right now, but honestly, I didn't think the defense was terrible. I mean, you can look at all the missed tackles, and that is frustrating as hell, and Josh Jacobs running through like four guys seemingly on every single play, and yeah, I get it, that's rough. But they didn't play nearly as bad as 38 points suggest, and they didn't play good enough to win the football game. Like, they were going to have to play out of their minds for this offense to have a chance. Down your quarterback, down your best offensive lineman by a mile. Debo Samuel seems to be nothing still. You needed more, but it's not as if the defense was absolutely abominable in this game.
The run defense was gross.
Yes.
That was really bad, but You're missing Nick Bosa, who's arguably your best run defender. Jordan Elliott, who's not great, but...
missed the entire second half.
Out for the entire second half. Like, they just don't... they just didn't have the horses to stop Green Bay up front. Like, that was a concern going into the game.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have to devote so many resources to stopping the run, and they just couldn't. But to your point, like, they hung around. They gave the opportunity. They gave the offense an opportunity. But I'm not. I can't even really put it on Brandon Allen necessarily.
He
wasn't good. Like, this is not to say Brandon Allen was awesome.
Kind of like what I expected.
Yeah, but I mean, Deebo Samuel has one catch and should have had another one that goes through his hands and goes for an interception.
Yeah.
Play the game most likely.
Yeah, you're right.
Game
that
turned right there. Yeah.
That was it. Yep. And I know it wasn't like an easy reception, but like, yeah, but that's Deebo Samuel. That's not Ronnie Bell. That's not Rando Guy. That's
not Chris Conley.
That's a guy. Yeah. That is one of your dogs. That's one of the guys who has to go make a play for you.
Like, Kittle makes that catch.
Yes. Yeah. George Kittle made a couple of ridiculous catches today.
The back hip, back shoulder, spin around.
Insane.
Oh, my God.
And great catch.
It's like, does Ricky Pearce have a target yet? No targets for your first-round receiver, but we can get Chris Conley and Eric Saubert the ball? Okay.
Hey, he's been returning punts, though. Don't worry. Ricky Pearce, I'll stay busy.
Getting the ball in his
although
hands.
Better just fair catching, because there's a hold on every single kickoff and punt return.
It's unbelievable.
Jesus.
Yeah, man, that's where like today irks me, because you go look at Green Bay, and outside of Josh Jacobs, 26 for 106 and three touchdowns, Jordan Love, 13 of 23, 163, two touchdowns, probably should have thrown two picks.
Also should have had like a 60-yard touchdown at the end of the first half, because Christian Watson just ran right past Isaac Yadam, and he dropped a perfectly placed
just
ball.
A dot. Yeah, it's disappointing for sure, man. Jordan Mason's in the game. That's nice.
finally.
To see that. Like, that's the other thing. Here, just while we're venting.
Stream of consciousness. Keep it going.
Here we go. Green Bay is out there running two running back stuff. Every person who talks about the 49ers a little has been like, why don't Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey just share the field?
Oh, man.
Christian McCaffrey, everyone's like, oh, he could be an all-pro as a slot receiver. All right, let's see it then. Let's mess with the defense here. Let's put Christian McCaffrey out in the slot. Dude, Mark and I are sitting here in the studio.
Yep.
Jordan Mason comes in, and we go, oh, Jordan Mason's in. And I go,
early third quarter.
I go, first explosive run of the game coming up. Bang, 16 yards.
Yeah. No, I was like, I guarantee he's running for a first down here. Then you took it a step further to the explosive run, and then it happened. Yeah. Well, the Niners recovered.
Oh, wow.
It's fine. Go ahead, Sterling. Go ahead.
What a joke.
I was just going to say, like, even Tom Brady, who you could think what you want of Tom Brady as a broadcaster, even he's questioning, why is Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey not on the field at the same time? It doesn't make sense. It gives you... It gives the defense something else to look out for. And on fourth down, you're going empty set with Christian McCaffrey lined out wide, not Jordan Mason in the backfield. It's just very questionable calls, but even then, the execution was so poor today. But somehow, at halftime, San Francisco goes into halftime down 17-7 with the idea, hey, we're getting the ball out of halftime. Go down, score a touchdown, make it a three-point game, or at least a one-score game. At that time, they had run 17 plays for 96 yards. The Packers had 38 plays for 218 yards, including 125 of those on the ground, and they had 17 points, and somehow they had a chance through three quarters in this game. That shows you that despite everything that went wrong, which literally everything went wrong in this game for San Francisco, defensively, offensively, turnover, special teams, doesn't matter, it was atrocious for a lot of this game, they still have found themselves in little pockets of each game this year. They have a chance. And I don't know if it gives fans hope. I know right now we're all kind of doom and gloom. The season feels over. I don't know what Brock Purdy's health status is. That feels like it's more serious than they're leading it on to be, but that's just me. And look, Brock Purdy's not going to save how bad this offensive line's played or how bad the defense has played or, you know, all these special teams disasters every single game. Like, this game felt just like every other Niner game, but with the backup quarterback and the backup left tackle and no Nick Bosa. Every game's the same. Doesn't matter who's in, who's out, every game is exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it was same issues, same mistakes, same frustrating moments, but it was just 10 times worse because you're doing it now without, you know, like four of your five most important players on the roster. And that makes it, of course, so much more difficult. But Sterling, you pointed to the moment, beginning of the third quarter, when the Niners had the ball out of the halftime break, down 10, and they put together a little bit of a drive. That was when we saw the Jordan Mason run 16 yards. They get over midfield. They're faced with a 3rd and 8. Brandon Allen looking a little bit like Brock Purdy, although a lot slower. Runs, decent play to get 6 yards. Brings up a 4th and 2. And I'm sure you were thinking the same thing. Kyle and I here in the studio and our guy Cam behind the glass all thinking the same thing. You got to go for it. Down 10. It's very deep field goal range. Go for it. You're going to try to get a touchdown or at least make it an easier field goal. Go for it. And what does Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers offense do? 4th and 2. You are from the Green Bay 39-yard line, all right? So you're across midfield. It's an easy go-for-it situation, in my opinion. So I love the decision to go for it, but what do? You motion Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield on 4th and 2. So you're asking Brandon Allen to go empty on 4th and 2. First of all, that tells the Packers, hey, we're going to throw the ball. Don't even need to worry about the run. 2, if the Packers are going to blitz, you got no one to protect Brandon Allen. And he had to rush a throw, looking only at Christian McCaffrey, who was well defended by one of the best DBs in the league, Xavier McKinney, who had a pick later on in the game, incomplete, turnover on downs. And at that point, you kind of feel like that was a turning point in the game. The Debo dropped interception was another one later on. But that 4th and 2 failure to convert, where for some reason you tell the Packers that you're not going to run by moving McCaffrey out of the backfield, it made no sense to me. It feels like you're doing yourself a disservice by tipping your cap to the Packers and giving them an idea of what's coming. On 4th and 2, the most important play of the game at that point, I would really like Kyle Shanahan to explain the thought process behind that. Maybe I'm just too naive of a football mind to fully understand, but to me, that makes no sense. Why are you telling your opponent that you're going to throw on 4th and 2?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't love that at all. I hate the shotgun empty on 4th and short every single time. Like not even making them think about it.
Like if you've got a mobile, if you got Lamar Jackson back there, it's a different story because Lamar can run it himself.
Sure.
You got Brandon Allen. You're not running it with Brandon Allen.
No kind of play. And maybe that just comes from a lack of trust in the offensive line, which I would get. He doesn't think the offensive line can get enough push to run it for 2 yards. So, hey, I mean, we're just going to put McCaffrey out in a route.
Put McCaffrey in the slot and put Jordan Mason in the backfield.
Well. And take Chris Conley off the field? Yes. Are you kidding?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I the hesitation to use both running backs at the same time is baffling to me. I don't understand it. The fact that Chris Conley is getting a play action shot play when Ricky Pearsall can't is baffling to me. That Eric Saubert is A on the team, B on the field at all ever is baffling to me. Today was perfectly indicative of the season. The Sterling hit the nail on the head. I think you absolutely nailed it, dude, when you said that this game was just what the 49ers would look like without such a top-heavy roster. So, yep, that's a great damn point, because that is exactly what this was. There's nobody to bail them out.
No, nobody. It's just... It's so frustrating, too, because that 4th down, okay, San Francisco doesn't get the 1st down, and you think, okay, interesting. How's the defense going to respond? And the defense immediately forces a 3 and out. Great, no harm, no foul. I got the ball back, and you're feeling okay. All right, what does the offense do? They get a 31-yarder to Kittle up the middle of the football field. They're moving the football, and on 3rd and 8, that's when Debo can't catch the football over the middle, turns it to a pick, and it like the sequence of events just shows you exactly how close San Francisco is, but also just how far away they've been every single game this year. They get the 87-yard kick return by Debo Samuel to open half. Great! Wow! We're at the 13-yard line of Green Bay. We are in the red zone, about to score at least a field goal, make it a 1-score game. Nope, called back by an Eric Saubert holding call. Okay, great. The next drive, your defense gets a stop. Well, here's a pick. Here's an interception. Okay, great. Because Debo Samuel can't catch the football. The very next drive by Green Bay, DPI in the end zone leads to a Josh Jacobs touchdown. That right there flipped the game from a one score game maybe in your favor, or a 17-14 game or whatnot, to a 21-point lead by the Packers. It's that sequence right there that cost San Francisco this game.
Yep, and it's kind of the story of the season. There's been moments in almost every single game, specifically the losses, and even in some of the wins, where you're going, they just shot themselves in the foot, like on four consecutive, not necessarily plays, but moments of drives, and that's what flips these games that the Niners are playing in. And it's the same story every single week. This one obviously is different because you're down so many key players. I mean, the list of Niners inactives for this game: Trent Williams, Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, Mooney Ward. You've got so many players, and, you know, along with Kevin Givens and Jacob Cowing and Khalil Davis, who they acquired at the trade deadline. You've got so many key guys that are not even available for you in this football game that it's going to be increasingly difficult. And if there was ever a moment for the Niners to play their cleanest game, this was the time, because this was the only opportunity for them. That was the only opportunity for them to win the football game, was if they played clean. And they might have played one of their, less clean games of the season, and that is saying a lot considering how bad some of the games have been so far this year. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. We're just getting started. Let's go out to the phones and keep the calls and keep the texts coming. 888-957-9570. The 49ers, it is a final, by the way, in Green Bay. The final score is 38-10. The Niners fall to 5-6, and they're back below 500 once again. Okay, up first here on overtime is Fozzie in the East Bay. What's up, Fozzie? How you feeling about that loss? Fozzie, you there?
Thanks for having me on, Kyle, man.
I got you.
See you, man.
Go ahead. Sorry about that, Fozzie. We got you now. How's it going?
All right, but yeah, tough one, man. Thanks for having me on, Kyle. Good to see you back on the air. But yeah, man, I think it was going to be a hard game, even with Brock Purdy there. I know, you know, we're always going to back our team and stuff like that, but we'll call it for what it is, has been for so far this season. Man, we're 12 games in. This team really doesn't have an identity. And now going into this game with backup quarterback, you've seen the results, man. We got our butts spanked today, man. And it was hard to watch, but you know what? I think it's time to turn the page on this season, man, and we'll have time to react on this game. But I think for the future, giving Brock Purdy a big contract is going to be worth it, because we've seen what this team looks without him. Cheers, boys. How's it going?
Appreciate the call, Fozzie. I think it's an interesting point as it relates to the future of Brock Purdy. I don't think it would have looked necessarily pretty with Brock Purdy in there either, but it would have looked a little bit better, and just the absence of Brock Purdy maybe makes you appreciate what he brings to the team as well.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. There were definitely some throws I thought that Josh Allen missed that Purdy probably
Brandon
missed.
Allen.
Brandon Allen, yeah. Thank you.
I wish it was Josh Allen.
I think the thing that jumped out was the thing you were talking about earlier is the mobility.
Yeah.
That just the inability to navigate the pocket. And I thought Tom Brady brought up he brought up this point 19 times during the broadcast. And I think it's apt. Brandon Allen hasn't started a game in 3 years.
Yeah, week 18, 2021, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's stepping into an NFL game after being in practice. It's just going to be different. Like
having
broken finger,
yeah. What the Niners never told anybody about. Out there on the field.
Well, he showed up on the practice report for week 10 on Thursday with a finger injury, but he was a full participant. And he was a full participant in Friday's practice, and then was not on the injury report, and he hasn't been on the practice report since.
And he's got a cast on his left middle finger.
He's got a little wrappy bit there on his finger. So it just, the lack of mobility.
Twice.
A stunner. The lack of, also, all three Niners turnovers went for Packer touchdowns today. But the mobility factor was it for me. Like when he would start to maneuver in the pocket, is like disaster. Anything that happens from the moment when he was dropping back, he was setting his feet, ball is out, he was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the minute it was back, set his feet, got to step up, it's like, oh boy, like this isn't going to go well. And like, you just can't have that behind an offensive line that is subpar at pass blocking.
Yeah, you know what it felt like, Sterling? It felt kind of like a Jimmy Garoppolo moments.
Oh, boy.
Man, hey, they beat the Packers a couple of years back with no offense at all.
That's true.
Jimmy G is the quarterback.
Hufanga! Yeah.
But does that open the door for the conversation as to why Joshua Dobbs didn't start today? I don't care if you didn't know that Brock Purdy may have not been able to play, maybe he could have played, but the idea that Joshua Dobbs played meaningful football last year for the Vikings and a little bit for the Cardinals, beat the Cowboys last year early in the season, and look, they probably would have lost this game anyways. But you want mobility. There's a guy sitting back that you gave guaranteed money to in the offseason, they thought be the quarterback too, and yeah, you probably still lose. Maybe it's not by 28 points, maybe it's by 24 points, and we're all sitting back like, oh, well, whatever, but why didn't Joshua Dobbs start? I don't get that.
I mean, I
probably
agree.
Probably because he stinks.
I agree.
That's fair. I mean, so does Brandon Allen, so it doesn't matter.
First of all, they're losing this game with either of those starting
that's
quarterback.
That's
But I am with you, Sterling, that I personally am a little bit confused, but you ask why, and to me it's a very simple answer, and this is just I can try to pretend to be Kyle Shanahan for a second. Brandon Allen's been on the roster now for 2 years. He knows the offense,
guys. He knows the offense, baby.
He has memorized the playbook, and guess what? Josh Dobbs, I know he's a real smart guy, hasn't mastered the playbook yet. You got to keep mastering it. Yep.
Go ahead, Sterling.
You signed an astrophysicist. If you need anyone to save your season, isn't it the freaking astronaut? Like, you need a miracle. That guy's going to go to space one day. He can help somehow.
Yeah, no, but he can't throw a quick out to Juwan Jennings.
I think that's literally probably it. Like, I know that like, we joke about that, but that's just Kyle Shanahan was more confident. There was less variance. And hey, if everything gets executed perfectly, Brandon. But like, this is where I have frustrations with Kyle Shanahan. Like, you know, it's not going to be perfect. You know, your offensive line is poor. You know that you have Juwan Jennings and a broke ass Debo Samuel and not broke financially, like a substandard version, doing very well for himself. Very successful wide receiver Debo Samuel, who is a shell of himself,
and also McCaffrey, who does not look like last year's McCaffrey.
Has
still
not looked right. It just like you're banking on everything going perfectly, which okay, but.
Breaking news.
Let's be real.
It's not going to go perfectly.
It has not gone perfectly for 10 weeks. I don't, but again, we can have this discussion. It's easy. We can bounce it back and forth all day.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs, the quarterback play is so far down the list of things wrong with this game.
Yes.
Maybe Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, I mean,
to what end?
I do think that a lot of this is that Joshua Dobbs probably does things outside of the scheme Shanahan doesn't like, where it's the scrambling, not playing on time, and all this stuff, and Shanahan's like, no, do what I say, trust me blindly, and it's like, well, have you given anybody, including your quarterbacks, a reason to trust you blindly this year? I don't think so, but you're right, Kyle. The quarterback, while yes was a factor, they got to clean up third and long, second and long defensive issues.
Oh, man.
They got to fix the offensive line, the penalties. Jake Brendel still is a turnstile at center. They got, again, no Debo Samuel, shell of himself, like you said, Kyle. It's like Debo Samuel's biggest play of the day was a kick return that didn't even count. And I guess a trick play that took literally like three different players that had to pitch the ball three different times to different people to actually make the play worthwhile. Now it was a 21-yard play, but this felt like the Niners are a ghost of who they once were, and no one's saving them. Shanahan's not doing it. Brandon Allen ain't doing it. Joshua Dobbs ain't doing it. And if Brock Purdy somehow comes back against the Bears in 2 weeks or against the Bills next week, they're going to lose again. They're simply just not good enough. Now, you can say, well, they're 1.5 game out of the division, and there's still a chance. And yeah, stat-wise and mathematically, that's true. But ultimately, at the end of the year, we're talking about, hey, 13th overall pick. Hey, 15th overall pick. Who's this team's first-round pick this year compared to they just missed the playoffs by one or two games?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they've got so many other problems that we can talk about the quarterback spot. And obviously, I mean, it would look different if Purdy was in there. They probably still lose this game with Purdy, even if they don't have Trent Williams, they don't have Nick Bosa, they don't have all these other guys. Like, this was a game where the Niners just were simply outclassed from a talent perspective, but also just from a playing football perspective. perspective because the Niners made so many more mistakes than the Packers did. 888-957-9570 as overtime continues. The Niners fall in Green Bay 38-10. Niners now 5-6, back below 500 in 2024. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Dave is in South San Francisco, and he's on overtime now on 95.7 The Game. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I expected a win today. We got the talent. It was a lot closer than I thought. And, I mean, it wasn't at the end, but all these penalties and missed tackles, it's just like we kind of messed up on our own accord. And hats off to Kittle. He did good, but, you know, I don't want to criticize the team. I'm a couch potato. But basically, they could have done a lot better, you know. Last year, they were much more potent. The offensive line, Cafferty, was feared in the league. Every time he got the ball, he'd get like 6, 7, 10, 12, 15 yards. Just not happening this time. So, a lot of issues. I don't want to single anybody out. Love the Niners. Hope they can get it together. But I think we need to get, like, some help, special teams, and got to take a good look at this coach here, Mr. Shanahan. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Dave. Well, I'll say you are spot on about at least one thing that you said. They got to take a hard look at special teams. There wasn't any, like, major turnover that happened on special teams in this game, right?
Almost, but, though.
Almost. They were close. I mean, they were close last week, too. But, I mean, you guys mentioned the Deebo Samuel kickoff return called back by the Saubert hold, which, I don't know, might have been a hold, might not have been a hold. It did happen right as Deebo Samuel ran past him. It probably impacted the play. I don't have a major problem with that being called. More so, blame it on Eric Saubert for being in that position. But, again, it's a play on special teams that essentially directly cost you points because Deebo returned that all the way down to the 8-yard line. Instead, you get it like at the 21 as a result because I think it happened at the 31. It's a spot foul where the penalty committed. You lose 10 yards from that spot. So you go from the 8-yard line, first in goal, all the way back to the 21. You have a gigantic field ahead of you, and you can't do anything with it. So it wasn't the same kind of mistake the Niners special teams have made all season long. But I'll give this Niners special team group one thing. They're pretty creative in finding new ways to screw up, and that happened again today.
Yeah, that was... I don't know, dude. Like, this is just kind of what I expected.
Yep.
It just that's what I'm not firing anybody. I'm not cutting anybody. I don't like they finally here's what the injury stuff, right? I had the guy from Packers Wire reach out to me, the USA Today Sports Media website, reach out to me and said, "Hey, why are the Niners 5-5? Like all their metrics."
How much time do you have?
It's kind of what I said. He's like, "Cause to me, like you look at their metrics, they just look like a team that's been kind of snake bit by injuries." And it's like, "Well, yes, you're better if you have Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey and
nice pull.
Thanks. And Christian McCaffrey, obviously, and if George Kittle's healthy all year and whatever Debo's dealing with, all that. Like, yes, no doubt, you're better that way. But I had not to this point left any of the 49ers losses and gone, well, they just couldn't win. Look how injured they were. We've not discussed the injury stuff at all outside of, oh, can't score in the red zone. McCaffrey should help that. Yeah. He hasn't. But this was the first game that going in, it was like they just can't overcome these injuries. And the disappointing part was how they played. Like if they lost, they weren't going to the playoffs. They have to win out and get help to go to the playoffs. But I think they know they're done. And I think they knew they were done when they took the field today.
Do you agree, Sterling?
I mean, it's hard to say no. And disagree, you know, it's ironic that John Lynch, for as great as he is as a GM, he always preaches they want finishers. They want guys to go out there and finish plays and finish drives and, you know, go out there and just give you everything they have on every single snap. And this season, the Niners have been far from finishers in many areas, whether it is drives or plays or games. And for the first time this season, it felt like they didn't even start, so they never had a chance to finish. And that's not what this team has been since 2019. That's not the culture that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have established when they came here in 2017. And they've had far worse teams with far worse personnel and far worse coaching that have overcome the odds at certain points. And like in 2017, they had no wins, and Jimmy Garoppolo comes in, they went 5-0 to end the year. Like, I would buy into that team more than this team right now, simply because that team has heart and this one doesn't. And I hate saying that because this team has so many great players. Fred Warner, Brock Purdy, George Kittle in his prime, Debo Samuel, Trent Williams. Like, so many great players. You say, those are guys you can ride to immortality and win a Super Bowl with. In 2024, ain't no one picking you up. Ain't nobody finishing, because in this game, nobody started. You can tell from snap one, the run defense didn't come to play. The offense looked stale for three straight drives until Kyle finally figured something out. And even that drive in itself, the only scoring drive San Francisco had when they got a touchdown, the only reason why it happened was because Chris Conley recovered Isaac Grendo's fumble on the kickoff. Like, this game, yes, had so many instances where they could claw their way back and find a way to, you know, a miracle win in Green Bay at Lambeau. No. This team didn't have a chance to win because this team knows they're not going to win. I would not doubt if San Francisco lost every single game the rest of the year. And I would say, yep, that makes sense, because this team knows they're done and knows they can't finish. So why even show up at that point?
888-957-9570. Do you think the Niners are done? Do you think they know that they're done? You can offer your opinions on that. Also, we'll take all of your calls just about the game in general. Again, 888-957-9570. Vaughn has been waiting patiently. He's in Santa Rosa. What's up, Vaughn? You're on overtime on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. I am, like, just so frustrated. Let me take a breath really quick.
Yeah, you got it.
I just got to say, man, I've been watching Shanahan, and I really, you know, thought he was great and all that. I'm not one to just bash him, but there's been a point where, you know, I think this team might have given up on him, like, to the point where when I watch his post-game pressers and whatnot, he's very smug, arrogant. When anybody even presses him on any question, never says, hey, I put this on myself. It's coaching. I got to coach better. We got to coach better. He never takes it on himself. It's always diverts it away. And then not only that, special teams have been horrible all year. All year. Nothing has gotten better. Nothing has improved at all. Defensively, nothing has improved at all. The penalties, nothing has improved at all. It's gotten worse. And then you got the players injured. Like, we just had our bye 2 weeks ago. And why are these guys out? Like, I get it. It's football and everything. These guys all got paid. Christian McCaffrey got an extension. Trent Williams got his extension. I was all wanting the money. Now, when it comes time, they're not available. It's like maybe there should be some injury clauses in those contracts. Hey, man, whatever it is. It's just like, I don't know what it is, but I think this part of this team has given up on Shanahan because of the Super Bowl losses, the play calling in critical times. Run the ball. You got a backup quarterback. What are you doing? You are passing the ball all the time instead of running. You got McCaffrey, the best offensive player in the league last year. You're not using him. You got Jordan Mason, no bubble screens, no nothing. It just reeks of bad coaching. Like, nothing's getting better. It's getting worse. And, you know, even with Purdy, I think it would have been a little bit better. And then this is the key to it all. This was over the top for me. Josh Dobbs, I thought, should have been the second string quarterback out of preseason, and he performed better. But not only that, I find out today in the game, Brandon Allen has a broken finger. Yep. And he's still starting? Why? I don't get it. Josh Dobbs is a scrambler. He can run at least. You're just putting it. It's accumulated so much. I really do think Shanahan's, he could be, I don't even think he's a great offensive coordinator anymore. All his coordinators went to the Dolphins. They've gone other places. And now I think he's calling plays this year. I'm not sure, but I think he's the main play caller.
He's been calling plays his entire time. Bubble screen.
Yeah, there's no bubble screens, no jet sweeps, nothing. The running plays are just straight at the middle. There's nothing like 4th and 2. Run the ball. I mean, at least just make it, string it out, something, get yourself somewhere going along the side. Like, you watch other teams, they're all doing creative things. Like, last week in Seattle, like the bubble screens and stuff. It's just like, what's going on here, man? I just don't get it. I'm just frustrating as hell. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think our window shouldn't be shutting at all. And that's one last thing. Everybody deals with injuries. Shanahan loses one piece, he can't overcome it. It's just like, what is going on? And that's the thing about it. oh, he's such a genius. He's a genius. Where has that really came from? I don't get it. We here in the Bay Area, we see it. The national narrative is he's this genius. But I don't see it. I don't see it. You just one, two guys. This team has tons of talent. And it's still, he can't compensate for one or two guys being gone. Today was a big thing, but it was a close game. I thought, but the penalties, the special teams, every week I'm like, anything having to do with special teams, I'm like, cross my fingers, we don't screw it up. Extra points, I'm like, wishing we make it. It's a 50-50 coin toss. Field goals, I'm like, oh, 50-50. Like, we shouldn't feel that way. This is just, something's got to change.
Yeah, Vaughn, appreciate the call. Appreciate the call. I mean,
if he said bubble screens one more time, I was walking over there hanging up on him myself.
This is a spot where you can come on and vent your frustrations, and Vaughn clearly has a lot built up, and that's nothing against you, Vaughn. And the first thing that he brought up, well, first of all, I'm not going to question any player dealing with injuries. Like, the bye week is a couple of weeks ago. Okay, they're hurt. They can't play. Yeah. It is what it is. You just got to deal with it. Every NFL team is dealing with it. You got to deal with it. And this was a particularly bad injury week. Yes, we get it. But every team deals with this at some point in a given season. The first thing, though, that Vaughn talked about was essentially saying, has Kyle Shanahan lost the locker room? I know you guys were just talking about, do the Niners feel like the season is over? It feels like those two conversations kind of go hand in hand. It doesn't feel like Shanahan has lost the confidence of the rest of the roster, but a loss like this might go something in pushing it towards that direction. But it still doesn't feel like, to me, like Kyle Shanahan has lost the locker room. That feels like a major leap forward.
No, and this is where I think Kyle Shanahan deserves some criticism for sure. But he has an offense built around like the offensive line being at X level, and Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel playing at X level, and Brandon Ayuk being out there and trying to make those adjustments, those like wholesale adjustments to these major pieces of your offense, and missing them during the season or them not performing how you're expecting them to perform, that's really tough. And that's why I say, like, next year's the big one. Next year, when you get a full offseason to rework what this offense is supposed to look like, maybe change your philosophy on drafting offensive linemen and building an offensive line. When you have a full offseason to kind of make those changes, then I think you can start judging whether he's good or not, because they've been really good for 4 out of the last 5 years. I'm not going to go tear the guy down and everything he's done over the last half decade because of one bad stretch.
We'll take this game, for example. Shanahan didn't cause Eric Saubert to hold. He didn't cause four different offensive line penalties that cost him drives in this game. He didn't cost him Deebo Samuel dropping a pass. He didn't, like, there are so many things that Shanahan can be held accountable for, and all those feel very valid at this point in time. His team's 5-6, coming off a Super Bowl loss, in which it was overtime where they very much could have won that game. And the expectations set, not just for the team itself, but every single player, nobody's met them. Not a single player has met the expectations set by them, maybe outside of Malik Mustafa, Renardo Green, and Sam Aquanu. And I'm sorry, your rookie safety, rookie right guard in Dominic Pooney, and your young players that are scattered throughout your defense and offense, living up to the expectations or playing above them, is only good when the stars around them are aligning and they're playing and doing their job correctly. Mm-hmm. And they're not. And that's not Kyle's fault. That's just the way the NFL goes sometimes. Some teams have bad years. Some teams can't put it together. And when you have not just one or two players, you have about 5 to 10 players playing down every single game, it's hard to overcome. And offensively, yes, Shanahan needs to get into the offensive line and rework that sucker. I want 3 new starters next year. And they have to refine and rekindle how to be aggressive and run the football. This team can't run the football anymore. That's Shanahan. That's the offensive line's problem. But all the other small stuff, I don't blame Kyle for.
Yeah, I think you said it well. Final score in Green Bay today, 38-10. The Packers knock off the 49ers. As you said, the Niners now 5-6, although the division leader Cardinals lost in Seattle today. So the Niners somehow still only a game.
Still alive, baby!
Still only a game out of the NFC West.
We got a chance!
Which makes absolutely no sense, given the disgusting tape that they have put out through 11 games so far this season. Okay, time for a break here on Overtime. We got plenty more time for you, your calls and your texts. 888-957-9570. Mike and Javier, I see you. We're coming to you next as Overtime continues. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. More OT next on 95.7 The Game.
looking for Love looking for Jaden Reed. Not there. Goes back the other way. Sets up a screen. Bounce it off of people and into the end zone. It's Tucker Kraft for the touchdown.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Welcome back. Niners fall in Green Bay 38-10. The final score, that highlight you just heard, Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady via Fox. That was the first touchdown of this game. Tucker Kraft, 11 yards out. It was a 12-play, 67-yard drive that took nearly the first entire half of the first quarter off the clock. Green Bay's first three drives all were scoring drives, and they all were double-digit play drives. 12 plays, 10 plays, 12 plays, 17-0 Green Bay. But believe it or not, there were a couple of moments in the second half where the Niners possessed the ball only down 10 with the chance to get back within one score, turnover on downs, and an interception. Green Bay turns those turnovers into points. They ultimately win 38-10. A couple of garbage time scores really made it really bad. It wasn't good at any point, but the final score really bad, 38-10. And Kyle, you and I were talking during the break as we welcome everybody back. Mark Randy, Kyle Matz, and Sterling Bennett. This is the Niners' worst loss in history to Green Bay, and that's saying something considering these two teams have been playing against each other for quite a long time.
Yeah, so Nick Wagner from ESPN had the stat here, and I want to make sure I get this right for everybody. Their 28-point loss today, their worst ever. The second worst, back in 1960, they fell by 27 points. In 1959, they lost by 22 points. 97, 21, and 1955, 21. It's also their third biggest loss since Kyle Shanahan took over in 2017. Mm. The other two losses were in 2017 and 2018. It's a new low, boys.
I have another stat I can add on to that. Put this one on for size, guys. Fewest first downs in a game for the 49ers under Kyle Shanahan. 11 versus the Seahawks, week 2, 2017. 11 versus the Eagles in the 2022 NFC Championship game. And then today, 11 versus the Packers. Tied for the fewest first downs in the Shanahan era.
I told you it felt like the 2022 NFC title game. Just like, you know what? They don't got it today. I don't know.
We suck.
We just suck. I mean, yeah. I was going to use more words than that, but that's where I was landing the plane. No, man, it's like I get that we're going to have these big conversations about, you know, firing people and cutting people and this and that, and I don't think the Niners are going to have those same conversations necessarily. But we just heard on the way back the Packers' first touchdown. And it was like a double screen look where Jordan Love had two different screens he could throw on that play.
Yeah, I think Jaden Reed on the left side.
And Tucker Kraft.
Back on the right, yeah.
And it's like, man, and this is, I think, what our last caller was getting at. It's like, remember when the Niners used to do that stuff? Remember when they used to do cool stuff? Like a fake toss and then another fake toss and like a fake screen and a 360 and a throw back over the middle to George Kittle. And it was like, wow, that was fun and creative. They did the like reverse end around flea flicker screen pass today. Really interesting, really fun. Didn't see anything else as far as interesting and fun. And it goes to show like where Deebo Samuel is right now. That was the one manufactured touch for him. That's it. That was the one time they went, all right, we need to get the ball in Deebo's hands. And they had to do 19 things to get it to him first. And I just, they didn't have a shot today. And it bears itself out in the numbers you're reading. Like one of the worst offensive performances under Kyle Shanahan. And it's like, yeah, man, they were on their backup quarterback, their backup left tackle. Brandon Ayuk is out. They're on whatever version of Deebo Samuel this is. It's disappointing that there wasn't more creativity offensively. That there wasn't, it wasn't just like, hey, kitchen sink game. Here you go. Like, I know that there's only so much they could have done, but I also would have liked to see him do it like a little bit more. At least look like you're trying.
It did feel like that those calls, those trick plays, those special, you know, Shanahan in his bag plays were saved for, you know, desperation times. Well, is this whole game not desperation time?
You're right, it is.
Like, exactly, this is a, dude.
A must-win game with your backup quarterback, your Hall of Fame left tackle's not playing, so it's Jalen Moore, who surprisingly wasn't that bad today. You wasted a great Jalen Moore day. How often can you say that? It's like, and then you don't have Nick Bosa, so you, and then Leonard Floyd gets you two sacks, and your defense is keeping you alive a little bit in the second half, and it's like, you know, sometimes I wonder, I know the fan base is much more prone to sound the alarm, to hit the panic button, go, oh, you know, everything's got to get fired and changed, but I wonder when that moment is for Kyle Shanahan, because not that he'll sit there and fire the entire staff and restart from new and trade everybody away and say, you know what, 2017 all over again, we're rebuilding everything. No, that's insane. But I have to wonder in games, when and at what moments does he say, okay, we got to score. If we don't, game's over with. And going forward on 4th-and-2, yeah, that's the moment you point to and say, okay, he gets it. You had the score here. But in the play call he uses, you're like, huh?
Yep.
Empty set, McCaffrey, like, what? Why? Eric Saubert, 3rd-and-7, why is that your first read? Why? And again, I know Shanahan believes he's smart and he's a genius and all those things, in which those things are still true. Shanahan's a darn good offensive play caller, but it just feels like that. He's kind of like Robin Williams in Hook. He forgot he's Peter Pan. You got to go back to Neverland and refine that magic, man. Go back to Neverland and refine who you once were. You were Peter Pan, brother. You were this ever-long, amazing offensive play caller, but you've grown old and you're kind of old and ragged and you got gray hairs in and you're like, I forgot what it was like when I was out there dialing up plays every single time, when I was making Nick Mullins lead George Kittle to a record-breaking receiving yard year. Where did that stuff go? I want to know when that moment is for Kyle Shanahan, because today should have been that day from the jump, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I agree. I also think when we have this conversation, like, clearly, and I've been beating this drum all season, there has to be more creativity from Kyle Shanahan. Like, I am absolutely begging. I want to feel, again, where I'm like, wow, that was an incredible play call, and I haven't felt that all year. Like, I've been asking for that. But it's something you brought up, Kyle. It's something we've been talking about for a while now. We also have to maybe face reality that the players that would capitalize on those kind of creative plays, they just might not be that good anymore. Like Debo Samuel, I mean, the biggest indictment on Debo Samuel's ability is this game today.
Yes.
You're playing with your backup quarterback, as you said, Kyle, feels like the 2022 NFC Championship game where you had no quarterbacks. And when you have that situation, you just give the ball to Debo Samuel over and over and over and over again because you feel like he's good enough, he'll break something. He'll make magic happen. He touched the ball once on offense. Once, and it was a trick play.
Yep.
Like that. If that is not Kyle Shanahan and the Niners offense saying that they don't believe Debo Samuel has it anymore, then I don't know what it says. Like if that has to be what it says. That is the biggest indictment on Debo Samuel's ability, that the 49ers aren't even trying to give him the ball anymore. Because this was a game in 2022, in 2021, he has 15 touches in this game.
Yep.
At least. Yep. And probably five of them, six, seven of them are carries.
Zero.
He had no carries. One catch and it was on a trick play.
Yeah.
Like they're telling you with what they're calling, Debo Samuel doesn't have it anymore. It is clear as day.
I also think it's not a great sign that your first round wide receiver can't get a target. Yeah. Not one. We're not drawing anything up for Ricky Pearsall. Can't get him a screen. Can't get him a slant. Nothing. All right, man. Keep taking those deep shots to Chris Conley, though. Love that. How exciting.
It was fun. Yeah,
it's CC18
right.
The ball, baby.
Yeah.
I'm enthralled. Locked in.
That Eric Saubert target really got me going. Ugh.
God, they're not good. They're just not
they're
good.
Not.
Like, that's, like, I think they're going to be okay going forward.
Yeah.
Not necessarily this season. Like, you're probably looking at, like, 6-7 wins this year. But like going into next year, there just has to be some soul searching. It has to look a little bit different. I kind of wonder if we see them change their philosophy on, well, we're just going to kind of build a patchwork offensive line because you need to dudes who get the ball, who get the ball and score the touchdowns. It's like, okay, so Trey Sermon, Danny Gray, and who's the other guy?
Tyrion Davis Price.
Like, come on, man. Like that's what we're doing instead of building an offensive line. And I think part of the reason that we're not seeing that creativity from Kyle Shanahan is because they can't block anybody. They are not a good offensive front. You cannot have trick plays and slow developing plays when, A, it's going to get blown up, and now you're risking turnovers.
Yeah.
I think they need to rethink a lot of things. I'm not ready to punt Kyle Shanahan just yet. Yes. I totally understand the people who are frustrated and had it up to here with them. Totally get it. But this offseason is the one where, all right, like you know what works and what doesn't with what your team's going to look like over the next few years. No Debo, maybe no McCaffrey, no George Kittle. Talk it again over the next 4 or 5 years. You got to start making changes to what the offense looks like now.
Yeah, agreed. We can get more into that in a little bit, but I want to go out to the phone lines as promised. Mike has been hanging out on hold patiently. We'll get to all you guys if you just hang out on hold. There are a lot of you on the line, so stay patient. We will get to you. Up next is Mike in San Diego. I know Mike wanted to talk about Debo. Mike, how you doing? What do you think about Debo and the Niners?
I'm doing well. It just, for me, it's kind of sad watching Debo now. Not because, like, yeah, he's bad. We get that. But he's a team legend, and it's just, he's not the same player anymore.
Nope.
It's very, this entire season is nearing, like, last year's Warriors season to me. Even down to the team legend who just doesn't have it anymore. Things seem stale. Blowing big leads a bunch. And the Warriors did a kind of bit of a soft reset. And I think Shanahan is probably going to have to be in the same scenario where you're going to have to do minor changes to philosophy, get an entire new support staff, and see what happens. Like, I'm not ready to give up on Shanahan because, like, 20 teams would hire him immediately.
No doubt.
Yep.
So you got a good coach. But, yeah, I think it's time for philosophy change. And I know Kerr was able to do it. I'm willing to do it. I'm not so sure about Shanahan, though. We'll see.
Interesting point. I appreciate the call. I think, like, what we saw, obviously, the Warriors do was they said bye to Clay, although they seemed like they wanted to bring Clay back at the right
number.
Clay
said goodbye to the Warriors.
That's true. But what Kerr has also done multiple times, and Shanahan, take notes, before the 2022 season, when the Warriors won the championship, and before this season, overhauled the coaching staff. Overhauled the coaching staff, brought in new faces, new voices, new thoughts, adjusted.
Interesting.
Won a championship in 2022 and off to a 12-3 start this year?
I love this. Is Chris Kocurek washed? Let's talk about it.
Bring in an actual defensive coordinator and, fire your special teams coordinator.
Ryan Schneider's got to go.
To start.
Please.
I think that's an interesting point. Sterling, what do you think?
I would push back because Kyle has been forced to kind of redo his entire coaching staff because everyone was poaching them for That's a long true. Time. So, yes, I would agree that Brian Schneider has to go. And I don't know if Nick Sorensen gets fired or let go after you fired Steve Volks last year, unless someone's out there you point to. Maybe it's Jeff Ulbrich or Robert Saleh. He wants to come back to San Francisco. Maybe if the Bears fire Eberflus, he's a pretty good DC. I don't know if that scheme matches San Francisco at all, but I do think that there is some credence to the idea that San Francisco, you know, sometimes when you have a firm foundation and that keeps getting plucked away from other teams, sometimes the foundation starts to crumble a little bit and you find yourself on sand. I think that's kind of where San Francisco is at, where, okay, you have an identity in regards of what you want to do, but you don't have the players and not even the coaching staff to execute that at what level you want them to do. So, but even into that, Debo Samuel feels like this team's Clay Thompson. He was called out by Terrell Owens on this very station, and he wanted to come back at him on Twitter in a small little kind of comment, and then, okay, how do you respond? By doing literally nothing. When, no offense to T.O., we love you out here, but as a diva receiver as Terrell Owens was, when that guy calls you out, you better answer in the right way. And Debo didn't answer at all. Didn't even pick up the phone, and I'm going to say Debo Samuel in 2024 is a front runner. It's all name value. It's all swag and the celebrations, but he has two celebrations this year, and they've been rather meaningless for this team. Mm-hmm. This team needs Debo Samuel. He has been a ghost all year long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not only just the one touch on offense, which was the trick play that went for 21 yards, and we know he had the nice kickoff return that got called back. He had a couple other targets that he did not catch. One of those went right through his hands and turned into maybe the play of the game, an interception that turned the tide and ignited the Packers and flipped the football game. At the very least, Debo, you gotta get your hands on it and knock it down. You can't let it go straight through your hands waiting with the defensive back waiting right behind you. So it was a very, very bad game for Debo, and it's getting more difficult with every passing week to not come to the conclusion that Debo just simply isn't the player that he once was. It's becoming very difficult not to feel that way. Okay, yep. Back out to the phones we go. 888-957-9570. Javier in Vacaville is up next. Javier, thanks for holding. How you doing today?
How you doing, Mr. Grandy, Mr. Bennett?
Mr. Madsen. Say hi to Kyle, too.
No.
Kyle's not here.
It's all good. Go ahead, Op.
Yeah, like back to the course of, like I was saying, the 49ers, it's not about so much firing the coordinators. Like, you know, you guys kind of stated previously just 10 seconds ago or so, kind of steal my thunder. But statistically, I mean, you're giving up over 100 net yards and penalties on special teams alone. And defensively, Sorensen is not ready for the job. I mean, you know, you look at the team, you guys are saying what everyone sees. I mean, it doesn't take a blind man to witness the Niners are doing what, you know, other teams had to deal with when we played them the previous five seasons. And I feel like Shanahan needs to look himself, not in the mirror, but look at his team and say, you know, as staff, loyalty will get you killed in business. And I feel like he's being loyal to people who've been around Sorensen. You know, who's been there for years as, you know, assistant, you know, pass game coordinator, defensive back coach, et cetera. Snyder's had 15 years in the league as a special teams coordinator, but it's a production-based business. I mean, Debo Samuel, we're seeing the iron falling off piece by piece, week by week, day by day. But, you know, I think ultimately to get this right, Shanahan's going to – I mean, after today, I truly believe that Shanahan's going to have to get a passing game coordinator / offensive coordinator, because the Niners have been figured out and he's lost some touch. I mean, they're predictable. Everything that they've ran, other teams have taken and made better. And that's not anything against Shanahan. That means that his scheme once was at the top of its rank. But the Niners are being sought after, snapping and snap out. I mean, Jordan Mason led the league in rushing, doesn't get a snap. Look at a guy like Brian Daboll. He'd be a great addition to this offense as an offensive coordinator. But it's a pride thing. Shanahan, you're going to let go of some of that pride. Or you can go out like your dad did when he left the Redskins, now the Commanders, and the Broncos, et cetera. And you're going to have to utilize different type of personnel package. There's no reason why he shouldn't be getting touches. Garendo shouldn't be getting touches. You know, like you said, Pearsall. I mean, him not getting a touch, I think, is more a lack of production, not from his own usage and target standpoint, but his lack of skill set. I think that was a stretch drafting him there. We could have used all his alignment, I think, 13 times out of 10 at that spot last year. But that Shanahan saying, oh, I want another piece that I'm going to put with this, you know, checkboard that I got here. And that's fine and well. But now the roosters, or now, like you say in layman's terms, the hens are coming to roost. And everyone's looking back, roosting at Shanahan, and Shanahan doesn't have anything to work with. Well, a lot of these pieces he put together himself because he is the ultimate GM de facto. He gets the final call on personnel. And my last point is people are going to scoff, oh, why? If I'm the 49ers, I'm signing Daniel Jones tomorrow. And not to replace Purdy, but that's an asset management piece that you can dish down the line, because if there's anyone that can rework Shanahan in regards to not just the asset value, but who can rework his value in the league, it would be Kyle Shanahan. And if you don't believe it, look at what he got for, or look what Darnold is now, look what Purdy is today. Most importantly, what's the problem of stashing him away and just seeing, because you're like, you playing Brandon Allen with a broken middle finger and you telling me he's more worthy to play than Josh Dobbs, then hey, then you know something that we all don't.
Yeah, Javier, I appreciate the call, Javier. I mean, Daniel Jones doesn't have a job right now, and he's going to get signed by somebody. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. If Brock Purdy's back next week, then it literally does not matter. And if Daniel Jones is your quarterback, if Brock Purdy's out for the season, surprise. First of all, Kyle Shanahan hates playing guys that don't know his offense, so I'm not sure he'd even play Daniel Jones. And two, if Daniel Jones miraculously does play, I guarantee you the Niners are not putting together a run and making the playoffs with Daniel Jones as their quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I don't think Daniel Jones is signing a multi-year contract at this point.
No, he's signing for the rest of the season, correct, to play a little bit.
And then hitting free agency.
And not signing a major deal, but getting a little chunk of money.
Now, I will say, If they got whatever MRI Brock Purdy got and they go, ugh, he may not come back this year, and you want to give it a rip with Daniel Jones, fine. Like, whatever. I'm not going to go out here and say, like, they should do that or they need to do that. It's just, I get the idea. If this offseason, if the Niners want to Sam Darnold him and make him a backup for a year, that's a fine idea. I'm okay with that.
Also, I'm out on Brian Daboll as offensive coordinator too.
Kyle Shanahan's not giving up play calling, right?
No. And no, he shouldn't.
I think he'd quit.
He just needs to adjust.
He'd quit before he did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're not signing Vanilla Vic or Danny Dimes. It's off the table this year, at least.
If Brock Purdy is back and playing next week, which you don't really know, Adam Schefter sent out a really cryptic tweet this morning about
it. Cryptic or just saying nothing? He might come back, but also...
Maybe
he
not.
He might not.
So we'll have to find out. We'll have to be patient with that. But, I mean, even if Brock Purdy is back, I mean, again, the analytics say what? The Niners' postseason chances are somewhere around 15%. Maybe it took a little bit of a boost once the Cardinals lost, and now they're still only a game out of the NFC West. Wild card seems to be out of the picture entirely now. You're going to have to win the division to go to the postseason. The Niners still somehow only a game out, but they do not have the tiebreaker on anybody in the division at the moment. So we'll see how it does play out. Okay, we got to take a quick break. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. He's Kyle Madsen, that's Sterling Bennett. I'm Mark Randy. We got a couple of you on hold. We'll get to you when we come back. Also, we will hear from Kyle Shanahan before the night is over. We got plenty more to get into as the Niners fall in Green Bay 38-10. The Niners' worst loss to the Packers in history, and these two teams have been playing football for a very, very long time. Today was an embarrassment for the 49ers. More OT coming up next on 95.7 The Game.